Good morning, everyone, and welcome to FPC Radio Live. It is September the 27th, 2022, and John, Hurricane Ian is bearing down on us here in Southwest Florida. So we're going to have a pretty quick show today. It's not going to be too involved trying to get everything done before the rain start, which should be pretty nice. And for those out there who wonder, I've lived down here for almost 8 years now, so we kind of take the same mentality as you do when it comes to blizzards and nor'easters and all that stuff, John. I mean, it's like, okay, get some water, power's going to be out, have some candles, be safe and all that stuff. But it's probably going to get a little bit messy, and I don't blame, I mean, it's named after me, so you know it's going to be intense.
It's going to be relentless. It's going to have...
You've seen me on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely. It's got a Tampa Bay Buccaneers number 12 jersey on it, right in the eye of the storm. So it is going to be relentless. Make sure you get milk, bread, and eggs in case you have a hunking of maybe making French toast at some point. I've never understood why the power's going out. Let's get milk, bread, and eggs. Yeah. I do like French toast, but I don't think it's essential in the middle of a hurricane or a storm.
Well, it's like you get canned soup, and it's like, all right, well, how are you going to heat it up, you know? But
right.
good thing for me, though, I have a I have like one of those like little fire pits that doubles mm-hmm. as you can, you know, put it as like a wood like grill. So like if need be, I can always, you know, whip something up once the rains subside. But no, you know, obviously, you know, considering the location of where I'm at, it's very rare, obviously, that this area ever gets hit with like any sort of direct impact or anything like that. There's always, you know, obviously hurricane season and stuff like that. So this one, you know, it's a little unpredictable. So we're kind of playing it by ear. And obviously, you know, the Buccaneers having a game set to be played here Sunday have been proactive and have actually gone down to Miami to practice because obviously, excuse me, they're a little bit more out of the way because this storm is a bit unique in the sense that it's taking that almost hard right turn, you know, as it comes up into the Gulf. So obviously Miami is going to get a lot of rain, but certainly not the storm and wind and stuff that Tampa is expecting to get in this area. So the Buccaneers have gone down to Miami to practice and prepare, and the word is obviously they're going to be keeping an eye on what's happening for the game Sunday. Most of the storm is supposed to be coming in, I believe, kind of starting to get rains early tomorrow, heavy storm Wednesday night into Thursday morning. So theoretically, John, 3 days from then, 3.5 days from then, the field may be ready to be played on. So that's not completely out of the question, but we'll have to see because that's a big Sunday night matchup coming up.
Yeah, against the Chiefs. So I'm sure they want to keep it scheduled in Tampa. If they have to move to Kansas City, so be it. The Dolphins are playing Thursday night in Cincinnati, so Miami Stadium will be available. So maybe Brady can finally play a home game in Miami.
Well, not quite. I've heard, actually, the Saints and Minnesota as possibilities because, you know, neither will be in their facility.
Exactly. So,
excuse me. And I think, you know, again, for, you know, if the NFL can help it, I can't imagine, you know, they'd probably prefer to keep it as close to home as possible because it's like, all right, if you move the game to, you know, 2 hours outside of Kansas City, well, guess what? That kind of turns into a Kansas City home game. You know what I mean? So I do think mm-hmm. the NFL wants to keep it as close to what it was before in terms of proximity to as best you can, obviously. And it really all depends on what's going to happen over the next 48 hours or so. Because, you know, as we know, like with any storm, it's really, you can ballpark and get an estimate of kind of what's going to happen. This one in particular has been very hard to kind of pin down. We all become weather experts down here in Florida. John, you live down here long enough, you'll learn how to, you know, disseminate what's important, what's not, and you kind of pick up a few things. So,
We do that too here. It'd be ironic if they had to move a game in Tampa to New Orleans because of a hurricane.
What if they moved it to Martha's Vineyard? How about that? no, but, and, yeah, I mean, it's You know, so I've had the best of both worlds. I guess a taste of both worlds is probably the best way to put it, because I equate to how native Floridians deal with hurricanes, just like, you know, again, like I said, we deal with heavy blizzards, and the people that you know, that aren't from the Northeast or haven't really seen much snow, and how they react versus how we react. So you know, this is not to say that, you know, situations like this aren't, you know, always be prepared, make sure that everything's locked down. And again, from a sports standpoint, Tampa Bay is being proactive and moving their practices away from the facility, because, you know, look, the reality of it is, best case scenario, you're going to get hit with heavy, heavy rains and winds. And if you're lucky, the power's not going to go out, but certainly not a situation for them to practice in. So, excuse me, we'll be able to kind of monitor and see what happens over the next couple of days. But in other news, John, we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. We didn't really talk much about the Patriots game in general, but Mac Jones is going to be out for several weeks with that high ankle sprain. So disappointing. Disappointing, especially because it came in that final play of the game. And it kind of, like, look, I look at this Patriots team, and I've said it so many times to you off the air, it's all about perspective. It's all about expectations. Did you have the right expectations when Tom Brady left? If you didn't, you're having a very hard time these last couple of years trying to find a balance and how you should react to this team. You know what I'm saying, John? Does that make sense? Like, I think some people just didn't, getting like, you know, I feel like I'm a psychologist right now. Actually, a very bad psychologist, because I can't find the words to describe what I'm trying to say. So clearly I didn't take too many psych classes in college, but they're trying to accept it. You know, they're trying to figure out and come to grips with what this Patriots team is, and it's just like every other NFL team, John. That's the thing. It's just like every other NFL team now. Before, it wasn't. Before, it was the Patriots and Tom Brady. They won all the time. You expect them to win all the time. The season didn't start until midway through January, every season. Now, it's a grind. Now, it's a struggle. Now, it's just like every other franchise in the league, and, you know, look at the injury sense. I mean, you take for granted how, I guess, consistent Brady was and how healthy he was. Yes, he missed 16 games in his career due to injury, but it was because of one injury. Outside of that, never missed another game. In his entire, in 23 years, he had one injury that cost him time. And now we're dealing with, you know, the last 3 years of whether it's Mac Jones or Cam Newton or Brian Hoyer, injuries, durability, inconsistency. Again, welcome to the real NFL, Patriots fans.
But people, especially those who believe in Bill We Trust, which I'm not one of those people, I believe more in Tom Brady, but people who are supporters of Bill Belichick, that he can do no wrong, just figured that you could plug in another quarterback and that the train would keep on rolling. At least they would contend. And look, they made the playoffs last year, so that's an accomplishment with a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. But that Bill Belichick is better than the other coaches in the NFL. Well, we're seeing, without Tom Brady, you know, he's 10 games below 500 as a coach. He's below 500 as a coach in New England without Tom Brady, even if you want to just take aside the Cleveland years and just forget those. So, you know, people just felt that, well, Belichick will figure this all out. Well, you know, difficult to figure it out when you no longer have the greatest quarterback ever, who just forgave all sins. You know, if your defense wasn't all that great, he took care of that. If your special teams had a problem, he took care of that. If you were down, well, I don't know, 25 points in a Super Bowl, he took care of that.
They had an interesting graphic, and sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but I just wanted to bring it up, that they put up during the broadcast, and it was just basically showing the Patriots from 2001 to 2019 had the number one offense, just across the board, mm-hmm. points scored, yard, all that stuff. Yep. From that point until now, it has plummeted. However, John, and this will really just rattle the brains of the defense, the top 10 defense theory. The Patriots defense has still been the same. Top five, six, seven, you know, this magical defense that automatically wins Tom Brady championships, but no one else. It kind of shows you, and look, I mean, I believe in Bill we trust, but to an extent. And I think you know where I'm coming from, because I've always said that I think they were both, I'm not pro Brady to take down Bill. You know what I mean? Like, I just believe, regardless of coach or quarterback, that the quarterback is just more important because of them being on the field playing the game. So, naturally, I'm going to believe that Tom Brady was more important to Bill Belichick. However, that's not to say that Bill Belichick wasn't the best coach in the league. I mean, you can question some of his success with or without Tom Brady, but you can do that with every coach in the history of the NFL. Every great coach has had a great quarterback. I mean, very, very few exceptions. And certainly no coach with the track record of Bill Belichick has gone without a great coach. I mean, you talk about some of the, you know, a few coaches that, you know, obviously have had success with multiple quarterbacks, and it's very, very few and far between.
Joe Gibbs is the one that jumps out. Yeah, more than anyone. He won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, none of which are even remotely close to being a Hall of Famers.
But that's the exception. Oh, yeah, it's not the commonality. So, you know, I'm not sitting here now and, like, some people are like, oh, look, Bill's really not that good. No, Bill's great. Bill's great because, like, you know, you had Tom Brady, but he still had to make everything work. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a weird, some people just haven't been able to come to grips with just the whole situation. So you lose Tom Brady, you lose the greatest quarterback of all time. You lose, in my opinion, still the best quarterback in the league. You're obviously going to take a step back. And with a young quarterback like Mac Jones, and we saw this in this last game, there was some very great highs, but some very frustrating lows. But that's the NFL, John. Look across the league. That's what the NFL is. And I think, unfortunately, for a large segment of the most vocal Patriots fan, which is, you know, maybe your early 20s, early to mid-20-year-olds, this is something they've never seen before from their franchise. So I think this is frustrating in a sense for them that, oh my God, this team seems like they're ways away from winning. And you see Mac Jones get hurt, and that's disappointing. But you got to just understand that, yes, if you believe that Tom Brady is as great as you have said he is, then you should have expected this. I mean, it is what it is. And we're going to have games where it's like, look, I think the Patriots are a pretty good team. Mac Jones has had some, like I said, great moments, but some really frustrating ones. If he can grow out of those, he can be a very serviceable NFL quarterback. He can be a pretty good one, or he could be a guy. I don't know. I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know what his floor is. Anyone declaring one way or the other is just making a guess, really, at this point, because we've seen enough on both sides of it. Because, like, some of those throws he was making down the field to Devontae Parker, you're thinking, oh, okay, this you know, this connection is starting to kind of get a rhythm there. But then he throws just a puzzling interception. You're like, ah, that's where you don't have Tom Brady. And here's the thing too. I was thinking of a play in particular, John. It was that fourth down play. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rollout that got blown up. I mean, it was a great defensive play by the defender because he came off what his player was and made the tackle. Mac Jones didn't recognize it. And that's fine. Right. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. Tom recognizes that 9.9 out of 10 times, and he floats that ball over the top, and you have a 35-yard gain down the field. And those subtle differences make a huge difference. You know what I mean? And fans got to understand that, like, no, Mac's not going to do that as many times. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, not every quarterback's going to recognize that. Tom made it look easy. And I think until you come to grips with that, you're going to have a very miserable time watching the Patriots. Me, on the other hand, I've enjoyed watching the Patriots. Now, it's been frustrating. I've wished they've won a couple of these games. They've left a lot of points on the table. But I've seen a lot of good things from the defense, certainly after watching what Miami has done, and even with a, you know, banged up Tua, It's encouraging. Certainly no expectations of a Super Bowl run. We'll, you know, maybe we'll talk in a couple months, but definitely a lot of good positives to go along with some of the unfortunately glaring negatives.
The whole thing about the league, I mean, again, they're part of the league, 32 teams. After 3 weeks, we have two undefeated teams, Philadelphia and Miami, and only one winless team in the Raiders. I can't remember. I've been watching football for a long time. Maybe the Elias Sports Bureau can support me on this. When is the last time after 3 weeks we only had three teams that are either undefeated or winless? I never remember that. Like, everybody's one and two or two and one, which shows you that there's a massive – you know, middle ground NFL.
Remember the Manning Brady days, you know, it was 7-0, 8-0 every single season. There was a team that went 7 or 8-0, and usually it was either the Patriots or the Colts. The Colts had a more, had a pension starting fast like that every single year. The Patriots would always have like one clunker, you know, in the first couple months, but there was a few times where they start, obviously 2007, they started and finished, well, regular season. I don't want to get into the postseason. That doesn't count, John. Not in my mind, at least. But yeah, I just I don't know. I'm very curious because, like I said, there's a lot of teams. Like I think the playing field is a lot more level than we anticipated across the board. Like after 1 week. People thought no one could beat the Bills or certainly the Chiefs. Both teams look very beatable right now, especially with the Bills' injuries. Again, you know, you can't expect them not to have an impact on this team. The Eagles, I mean, we're going to, you know, we do our full, or we do the Full Press NFL podcast, and John joins me on that show every Wednesday to do our top five NFL teams. And, you know, there's a good chance that we might both have Philadelphia at the top of that list this week just because of what has transpired and what we've seen through the first 3 weeks. But the reality of it is there's a lot of pretty good teams in this league, and they all have flaws, which means the field is wide open.
It certainly is. I mean, we perceive that Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers are the four best quarterbacks in football, and on Sunday they produced 17, 17, 14, and 12 points and went 1-3. And the only reason someone won is because two of them were playing each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about four elite quarterbacks that put up a grand total of 60 points on Sunday. And then we saw Russell Wilson and Jimmy Garoppolo put up 21 points. So it seems like the defense is ahead of the offense right now. And again, I think this goes back to the exhibition season. There's only three exhibition games. Most players don't play in those. There's not many padded practices in training camp. So this feels like extended training camp. So you're seeing, you know, kind of really choppy play. I thought the Patriots-Ravens game was really entertaining, but it was kind of sloppy and choppy and not exactly, you know, a game you're going to send to Canton to show everyone this is how you play. But I thought it was pretty exciting. Heck, it was more exciting than the Packers and Bucks game, and it was more exciting than certainly the 49ers and Broncos game, but there were a lot of mistakes in there.
Well, that 49ers Broncos game was sleep inducing. Oh my good God. I mean, look, even my need to fuel my agenda against Russell Wilson couldn't keep me awake to watch that game. It was putrid. Putrid. They should have tied. They should have tied.
Oh, absolutely. That would have been the perfect tie, right? You know, those two teams.
Second.
But so that's where we're at right now. Yeah, so there's no great team. I think, look, the Rams are the defending champs, and look back at what they did in the postseason last year after beating Arizona handily in the wild card round. They had three straight, you know, flip of coin games, beating Tampa, the Rams, and Cincinnati. They could have lost any of those. I say this a million times. I can't remember the last team that just kind of blitzed through the regular season and blitzed through the postseason. Even if you want to bring up the 2016 Patriots, they were trailing by 25 points in the third quarter of the Super Bowl. I mean, that's not exactly
that's the one. That's the one hiccup, though.
The 49. I'm old enough to remember the 49ers in '89. You know, went 14-2 in the playoff games. I think they outscored their opponents by an average of 27 points per game. They just blitzed through everyone. It was a joke.
I said it before. 2004 Patriots is probably the closest thing that I can come to.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, they were the defending champions. They had, like, a little hiccup. or they didn't lose until Halloween against Pittsburgh, and then they had that weird hiccup against Miami and that those awkward silver jerseys. You know what I mean?
With yeah.
The, yeah, it was just it was weird. But I mean, they went through that game, like obviously the Super Bowl, like it ended by 3 points, but they were up 10 points late in that game.
Right,
that game was well in their control. And they were really just they were a juggernaut on both sides of the ball. Like, because the year before in 2003, this was the only time. I mean, everyone, this is the funny thing, John. So, you know, people have this idea that, you know, the Patriots, you know, their perception was that the Patriots had the number one or number two defense every single year and that their offense was, okay. And it really wasn't the case. The only time that those rankings played out that way was in 2003. Ironically, in the Super Bowl, it was, I mean, one of the great offensive performances, back and forth, big time throw. I mean, the Patriots gave up two massive drives in the fourth quarter to blow that lead. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Tom Brady got carried to the Super Bowl. But anyways, that 2003 season was the only year that there was that imbalance in offense, okay? They really didn't have a run game either. I mean, Antoine Smith was very much at the exact end of his, you know, usefulness, I would say, at that point. Mm-hmm. But the very next season, I believe they were top five in every points allowed, points scored, yards gained, yards, you know what I mean? They were just a juggernaut, mm-hmm. and I think that was...
they were, yeah.
You know,
you had Corey Dillon as an elite running back. Yeah. You had all your receivers. You had Brady playing at a high level. That defense was right there. You just added Vince Wilfork to Ty Warren and to Richard Seymour. I mean, their front seven was ridiculous. I know Ty Law got hurt midway through the season, but you still had Rodney Harrison back there, Asante Samuel. No, that was the best Patriots team ever, without question. And yeah,
that won a
Super Bowl, right? But also they. You look at what they beat in the postseason, right? I mean, they beat mm-hmm. Peyton Manning 20-3.
Yep.
Then they went into Pittsburgh, which had only lost one game all year and won, what, 41-27? I mean, put up 41 against Pittsburgh.
Wasn't Ben Roethlisberger 15-0? Because he
was 15-0, right?
They lost the first game. Yep. They lost the first game of the season, and then they won 15 games in a row with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I mean, and I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, the Colts were like 15-3 that season, including the playoffs.
Yeah,
the Eagles were like 15-3.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it was just they beat like three powerhouse teams that all could have won the Super Bowl, right? I mean, Pittsburgh, or Philly had won that year, we would not have been shocked, right?
None of those games were really close. I mean,
a 3-point game was a 10-point game late. So,
I mean, they were in control of that game. I mean, obviously, they handled Pittsburgh like they did every single time they met, except for that damn Halloween game during that season.
Right, yeah. But,
I don't know how we got off track to talking about...
Good times.
I remember back in my day.
It's bad.
But we did have a point to that little walk down memory lane, and it's just kind of to speak to the environment or what the NFL is right now, which is kind of really an open field. And certainly after 3 weeks, I'm not... Like, I still believe that the Buccaneers can be a very scary team if they can just get healthy. Now, they can be even more scary if they get their head out of their asses and actually start calling plays properly, because I think, to be honest, more so than the injuries, and we saw it in the final drive last week and during any time they ran hurry-up offense or any time they really drove the offense through Brady's arms, it didn't really matter who was on the field. He's going to make it work. It's hard for me, and a lot of that, too, is a lot of faith in Tom Brady, obviously. The fact that this is a odd or a even year, which means he is due to go to a Super Bowl. He has not missed consecutive Super Bowls since the 2012-2013 season, so that's seasons, so that's pretty impressive. So I'd like to see that streak keep going, but... All right, that's enough of our ranting for the day. Like I said, we're not going to be on the air tomorrow. We'll let you know about Thursday. Obviously, I host the show down here, so everything's kind of run through my internet. So if we're out of power, obviously I can't do the show unless I figure out how to project a hologram of myself over the entire United States. But then again, I guess Hurricane Ian is I guess a hologram of myself, because it's just intense, fiery, and you know, been building steam since Sunday night and the loss that Brady took to Aaron Rodgers. So anyways, keep an eye out. We'll let you know if we're going to be on the air Thursday or not. If not, we will have a full press NFL podcast with myself and John giving our top five NFL teams, and that will be out on Wednesday. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great Tuesday, Wednesday, possibly Thursday, and we will talk to you soon. Take care.